Well, I am excited to be able to worship with you and then to be able to open God's Word together. I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Each January, we spend some time reviewing and really teaching what Albertville FBC has listed as our strategy for making disciples of Jesus Christ. Now listen, our plan is simple, reproducible, and hopefully always leads to the next step. We use three simple words, but they come from the scripture, but we use the three words: worship, grow, and serve. And the basic idea is that our lifestyle is worship. Everything about our lives is to be worship. But we also do recognize and understand that many people who make their way to be a part of our faith family do so first in this corporate worship setting. It's one teaching many. It's one or a small group leading many, but it's all of us worshiping the Lord together. And then growing, it's what we see in our small groups and in our midweek discipleship and what happens in homes and what happens in classrooms when together with a small group, a few others, we can pray for one another, encourage one another, care for one another, and grow together in Christ. And then serving, the idea that we are all called to serve and we're never more like Jesus than when we serve. And that serving would be one-on-one. It would be opportunities we have together to live that out in ministry and mission. And corporate worship really is where most people start their journey with us, and that's perfectly fine. But I want to make a couple of statements today, and let me say this. It has never been intended that this corporate worship service would be the final destination. My prayer is that no one would see Sunday mornings at 10:15 as the culmination of a week, but that we would see this as the launching pad of a week. It's the beginning of how we live out our faith and how we make disciples as a faith family. Now, I'm going to make a statement that may seem pretty bold, but I will stand by it completely, and that is this. If you are not connected to a small group at some point, you will never fully receive the ministry that you need, and you will never fully minister to others the way you were designed. Now, that may seem like strong words, but I really do mean it. There are well over 100 verses in the Bible that deal with walking with one another, how we treat one another, love one another, serve one another, care for one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, discipline one another. Our own statistics here at First Baptist Church show that 94% of the people who serve in any way have first connected to a small group. It's the logical next step before we serve. And so we want to encourage you, if you're here, you need to know this, the best way for you to be prayed for is not to come down to the altar, to the front at the end of a worship service. The best way for you to routinely be prayed for is to join a small group, a Sunday school class. The best way for you to be encouraged is not to look to the person to your left or right, but to unite with a small group, to become a part of a small group in some way. The best way for you to be challenged is to be in a small group. The best way by far to develop relationships is in a small group. It is so easy to fall through the cracks if all we do is attend the Sunday morning worship service. Here, I'll give you a little experiment to prove it. I want everyone to look at me right ahead and don't look around at all, but I'd like you to ask the person behind you how they're doing and ask the person in front of you how they're doing. If you try right now to carry on a conversation looking straight ahead with the person behind you and the person in front of you, I want you to know it would be funny at best. It wouldn't happen. We're not designed to make relationships this way. This is where we rally together. We corporately worship the King. We grow together, but we are called out to live our lives in much smaller groups. So I want to encourage you to consider joining a small group. Try one or two or three. We have options for you. And so I want to encourage you to try those and to give one a try next week at 9 a.m. We have classes for all age groups. We have classes that are for men only, for women only, co-ed. We invite you to come and find what is right for you. But we also want to say this, that once we are strongly connected to a small group, we hope everyone will take the next step in serving either inside the local faith family or outside the local faith family, but serving Jesus. I'll make a statement, I mean it with all my heart. We are never more like Jesus than when we're serving others. He was such a servant and lived as the servant king, even in what he did for others. So we have information to help you find ways to serve. We want to help every person discover their shape. Shape isn't an acronym. It stands for your spiritual gifts. Many people think if I just know my spiritual gift, that'll be enough. I'll know how I can serve. Here's the problem. You may have the gift of teaching, but that still doesn't tell you where to apply it. You may have the gift of hospitality, but how do you use that? So we want you to discover your spiritual gift. We also encourage you to know your heart. It's your passions. What drives you? What are you passionate about? And for different ones of us in this room, it would be different things. And then A would be your abilities. The reality is we all have specific abilities that we can contribute and that we know how to do. You can do things I have no idea how to do. And then we have P, which is our personality. Different ones of us have different personalities. That's a good thing. It really is. Some of us have a personality that we can work with children and others don't. You may have the gift of teaching, but children may, you know, kind of send you over the edge. And the reality is if you say, I have the gift of teaching, I will go serve in the children's ministry. If you feel like you've got to take a pill when the hour is over, you do not need to be serving down there. You need to understand that I will give you permission that we'll find somewhere else for you to use your gifts. But then there are those of us, you're sitting in an adult class right now knowing that you have a passion and that you have the personality to be working with children, but you've been afraid to mention it because we have such good workers or you just don't know what kind of commitment it will take. Listen, for you, I would encourage you to take that step and find your shape, how you can serve. There will be kids waiting to give you a smile and a high five and a hug. So S is your spiritual gift, H, what you're passionate about, your heart, A, your abilities, P, your personality, then E, your experiences. We all have various life experiences that we bring to the table. So we want to remind everyone to discover their shape. One of the best ways to do that, if you have not done that before and taken some of the different inventories that we have to help you with that, is we will have our First Steps class coming up on February the 5th. And on that Sunday evening, it'll be a great opportunity for you to discover your shape for ministry. It doesn't matter if you've been a member here for 20 years or for 2 days. We would encourage you to sign up and participate if you would like to discover your shape. Now, you may say, okay, Chris, I get that, but in all these things, but where does this process come from? Is it really in the Bible? Well, we have one foundational scripture and then four key passages that we use every January to show why we do what we do and where we're headed. Today, I want to just simply share with you the foundational passage, Matthew 28, beginning in verse 19. You will know it. If you have been connected to a faith family of any kind very long, you will know this verse. If you're new, please understand this is probably one of the most well-known verses in all of the Bible. And if this is your first time in church in a long time, we're so glad you're here. But I promise if you try different churches every week for this year, you're going to hear this verse over and over again. It is one of the major verses of the gospel, of the entire scripture, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. God calls us, Jesus commands us to make disciples. Not just converts, not just that people would come to Christ, but that they would become like Christ, that they would be transformed and made new and grow in Him, that we would make disciples. But what is a disciple? Let me tell you, it's more than just knowledge. It's more than just learning more about Him. It's more than just trying to be good, because that really doesn't ever work. And it's more than just making a convert. At the core of discipleship is one word, transformation. It's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. It's not behavior modification. We can tell people, don't do this and things will be better. I can prove to you that behavior modification doesn't last. If I were to say, if you have some terrible habit, I don't know what it is, but a habit that you have or that I have, and I could name my own, but for time's sake, the reality is, let's just say you have something that you wish you did not do consistently, but you struggle with a little bit. If I were to pull out a briefcase here and offer you $1 million to make it 30 days without doing whatever that is, if it's something to do with the words you say, if it's something to do with talking about someone, if it's something to do with anger, I guarantee you if I offered you $1 million to make it 30 days, most of us could make it work for 30 days. Listen, because if the reward seems to outweigh the behavior, we can do some serious behavior modification. But please understand, when that 30 days is up and the money is yours, it's real easy to settle back into whatever was going on in our lives. We're not after making people better. Our desire is to see people transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a big difference. That sounds like a churchy answer, but can I tell you why? Because the church was founded on such things. It's about being transformed and being made new. It's what God wants to do in your life and mine. And so there are several verses that talk about what it means to really be a disciple. You can turn to these if you like. I'm going to go pretty quick, so it may be better just to write them down. Mark 8:34 tells us that disciples put Jesus first in all things. It says this, Mark 8:34, "And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Being a disciple of Christ means we start by putting Jesus first. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 tells us that disciples follow Jesus' teaching. John 8, 31 says this, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" We are called to not only know God's word, but to live it out. And the only way, I'll let you in on a little secret, the only way to live it out is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We must be transformed by him to live it out. John 15, verse 5 tells us that disciples will bear fruit. It says this, John 15, 5, "I am the vine," Jesus said, "you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned." Verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Now, if you go back and study what that is saying here to us, it tells us to bear fruit, but I have to let you in on a little secret. The day you were saved, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. The day you were saved and you began to walk, you walk in the power and the transformation of the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit that produces fruit in you and me. You've seen fruit trees that did not produce well, and you've seen ones that produced in abundance. But I want you to understand that it's the Holy Spirit that will bring transformation. I would encourage you to write this down. True disciples have been and are being transformed by Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He does the work in us. Now, that sounds simple enough, but many believers have been confused about how this process works and what it means. We ask, is it my own effort? Is it the Holy Spirit's job? Is it a combination of both? How do we know? Well, I will tell you, and I've told you that every year we start with this same basic message every single year. 3 years ago, I used an illustration that I want to use again today because I believe it will help explain the role of the Holy Spirit and your role in the midst of this. 3 years ago, I used some illustration of boats to make an example. First, there was a power boat, and you will see a picture of one on the screen. And the goal of a powerboat or a bass boat is to get you as fast as you can from one place on the lake to another. The idea is you get in, you turn the key, you push the throttle, you hold on to your hat. You're going to get there as fast as you can. There are some people who believe this is how disciple making works. You accept Jesus and then you are supernaturally a mature believer, fully devoted. You got this. The reality is when you accept Jesus, the old becomes new. We are made new. We have the tools and the resources, but you and I must grow in our faith. How do I know that? Look around. Look around in any church, in any city in the United States today, and you will find people who are older in their faith, who have been a believer a long time, who are still sitting at the very beginning, immaturity-wise, in their faith. And then you will find those that maybe have been a believer a long time, and they are so far in their faith, or some that have not even been a believer long and they are so far in their faith. The reality is, it is not You get it instantly and you are totally mature. We must, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be transformed and use God's word to grow in Him. And I would encourage you to think through that. Think through the fact of your own life. Am I a powerboat disciple? Am I looking at it as this is what's supposed to happen? I want to get there as fast as I can. I accepted Jesus and so I'm good. Listen, I would encourage you to realize that you're not good. You're new. You're alive. But He wants you to grow and become more like Him. And so you have the opportunity to do that. You have at your disposal today the ability to walk in newness and freedom. And I encourage you to live that out. The second type of boat, though, is a rowboat. And this is one that's pretty prevalent in churches these days. In theory, think about it, that rowboat can go just as far as that powerboat. It can go the exact same distance. The difference is it's depending on your strength to get there. If you don't row, you don't move forward. Many followers of Jesus have fallen into this method of discipleship. They begin to look at how many books can I read? How many people can I give a gospel tract to? How many scriptures can I memorize? How much money can I give? How many committees can I serve on? Just as far as I have the energy to go, that's going to be good. I want you to know this type of discipleship is very easy to reproduce. You say, well, how do you know? How many tired, overworked believers do you know? Quite a few. It is easy because it's task-oriented. It is simple. There are many legalistic groups that prey off of this because it is so easy to say, just do A, B, and C, and you'll be doing the right thing. When the reality is, because it is measurable, it is appealing to many. But in the end, our own simple efforts simply lead to religious actions, not a transformed life. This is how we end up with religious people who are not truly walking in the power of God. It happens very simply. And then the last boat, you would have a power boat, you would have a rowboat, and then there is a sailboat. If you've ever been on a sailboat, it is a fun adventure, especially if you're in a place with great amount of wind. A sailboat takes a lot of work and knowledge, though. You don't just hop on a sailboat and take it out for a spin not knowing how it works. You really won't get very far or you'll make a mess. You'll be dead in the water. You'll be turned upside down. You'll fall off. Something will happen if you do not have some knowledge about how to work a sailboat. So for a sailboat to work, you need knowledge, effort, and there's something else you need. The most important thing. What is it? You need wind. You need the wind. Ultimately, in a sailboat, you put yourself in the best position to catch something that you have no control over. You're going to catch the wind, and you have no control over that. You position yourself for the wind to blow. Now listen, as simple as I can say it, this whole idea of worship, grow, serve, this whole idea of making disciples, discipleship, it's really all about raising the sail. That is really what it is about. We are called to develop knowledge of God and His ways. That's unquestionable. We are called to learn and to live out the disciplines of the faith. That's unquestionable. But make no mistake, it is God who transforms us. It is He who invades our lives, and it is God who makes us new. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to truly transform our lives. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12, says this, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work on out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Verse 13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Now that seems crazy. It says we're told to work out our salvation, and then it tells us that it is God who works in us. We are to live that out because God is working it in us. So what I would say to every person listening today is that you do have a part to play in your discipleship. We must raise the sail in order for the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. Do you know something? That word Holy Spirit, the literal meaning of the Greek word, it comes from the word pneuma. The literal meaning of that word is divine wind. That's what it really means. So we're to raise the sail for the wind of the Holy Spirit to do the transforming work in your life and mine. So over the next few weeks, what we're going to do as a message series together is really talk about what it means to raise the sail, what it talks about, what it means to put us in the place where God can do the greatest transforming work in your life and mine. We will look at practical steps, how to receive the power of God at work in our lives, how to be made new. That's why the message series is called Renew, and it's R-E with a colon. It's pertaining to, it's about being made new. It's what we are called to do. We are about being made new, and He wants to make you new today. So next Sunday, we're going to start by spending some time looking at practical steps in Bible study, how we can grow in our own personal Bible study. I'll let you in on a little secret. If all you get of God's Word is the 25 to 30 minutes that I give you, you are missing out because you will be malnourished. There is so much more than one 30-minute message that's designed for all different types of people than what you specifically might need. I would encourage you to invest in God's Word on your own every single day. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through the Word of God and to be transformed. Learn how to do that. Next Sunday, we will give some very practical steps of how that can happen in your life and mine. I promise it will be practical, and it'll be worth coming to be a part of that. There are endless truths waiting to be found in God's Word. In fact, I'll give you a little plug for next week. One of the things I want to show you next week is what I believe is one of the most incredibly powerful and almost always hidden truths from Genesis chapter 5. I'm going to show you in something from Genesis chapter 5 that I would dare say most of us have never seen. Now, that's a pretty bold statement to make, but it's powerful, so I want you to come. We're going to see what is, in some ways, a hidden picture of the gospel in full from Genesis chapter 5. We'll see it through the genealogy of Noah. Can't wait to show you that, so make sure you come next week to see what that's about. But we have to begin to learn the tools of studying God's Word, how to take and apply the Scripture to take it deeper into a certain area, what we need to help us as we grow in His Word. So for you and for me, what I want to encourage you to do is this. As we begin the year of 2017, it's a little late for New Year's resolutions. The fact is, some of us have probably already broken some of the ones we made just 8 days ago. If that's the case, that's okay. Carry on. But I want you to understand that more than making some resolution about any number of things, my prayer is that you and I would resolve to be transformed by the power of God. And we would resolve to raise the sail. And the best way to do that is to invest in the Word of God, to come to the place where you and I together on a personal level can learn more and more of the deep truths of God. And so we will look together at what He has for you and for me. But what about you today? What about me today? What is your next step? What is my next step today? Well, first, for some, it would be this. Become a disciple of Jesus. Give your life to Him. If you're here because maybe you're making good on a New Year's resolution to begin to attend church, listen, I would encourage you to realize that's a wonderful start. But today is a day to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're here and you've never given your life to Him, today, salvation's available for you. Let me share with you how you can have that when we have our ministry time here in a moment. Second, for some, maybe the next step for you today would be this. Would you stop and examine the own transformation of your life? Look at your own life. Would you say that you viewed discipleship more like a bass boat, a rowboat, or a sailboat? Are you continuing to be transformed, or are you stalled out somewhere near the point of salvation? I asked this of our small group this morning in Bible study, and I want to ask you as well to take a personal account of your own life. If you could look back to the first week of 2016 and you compare it to the first week of 2017, do you look more like Jesus now than you did a year ago? Are your responses to people more like Jesus now than they were a year ago? Is the way you show compassion and grace more like Jesus now than it was a year ago? My prayer is that you and I could all answer yes, but my suspicion is that many of us would have to say, I don't know, I'm not sure. But what I would say to you is this, that there's no doubt about it. Growing in Christ is measurable. I don't mean, did you read all the Bible through in a year? I don't mean, did you memorize 100 verses? What I'm saying is there's no doubt that we each in our own minds can stop and answer this question, am I more like Jesus now than I was a year ago? If the answer is no, I want to encourage you to raise the sail. I want to encourage you to put your life in a position to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit who wants to bring transformation. Listen, the wind's blowing all around. Okay, all around. It's not a matter of God not wanting to move you closer to living like Jesus. It's not a matter of God not wanting you to walk the way he walks. I promise you, he has an open invitation for that. It is simply a matter of you and I removing obstacles and putting ourselves in a place where we can begin to do that. So I encourage you to stop and reflect on that. Are you doing everything you know to do and still not being transformed? Then I would encourage you to stop and to simply ask God, help me. I need some help to know where to go from here. I would also ask you to stop and examine, are you stifling or hindering the Holy Spirit in some way in your life? For me, this week in preparing this message, I had to stop and realize that there was at least one key area where I feel like I've sort of hindered the Holy Spirit's work. I thought I had a better plan, even though God's trying to really work in my life about it. And so what I've had to do is stop and just reflect and say, Father, I don't want to be a roadblock for your work in my life. And I have to make repentance and renewed commitment. I'm probably not the only one here today that needs to do that, and I encourage you to join me in that. Maybe for some, it's a renewed commitment to a small group, to finding one to be a part of. Listen, you will be so happy you did because you can be prayed for and cared for, and you can be a part of serving together. For others of us, maybe it's simply a way to look to serve Jesus and his bride, that you'll have a renewed commitment this year to find a way to be involved in ministry. And still yet, maybe for others, God's calling you to unite with First Baptist Church, to maybe follow through with believers' baptism. Maybe it's to renew your commitment to Jesus and this faith family. I don't know what God is saying to you, but I do want to encourage you to stop and realize this first benchmark verse for us, Matthew 28, it really is the basis of who we are. God has called us to make disciples. And the only way we can make disciples is if we are disciples. And so I encourage you to stop and examine your own life, even in this moment right now. Would you bow your heads with me? With our heads bowed and eyes closed, what about you? Do you stop and realize that maybe you are not closer to the Lord than you were a year ago? Maybe you are not more like Jesus than you were a year ago? If so, would you come and just spend a little time on your knees making repentance and a renewed commitment? Maybe for you, you realize that you're closer to him, but there's still some areas of your life that you are managing on your own that you have not given God free reign of. And I would encourage you to come and just be specific with him. Commit those areas of your life to him. Ask him to make you new in those areas. Maybe for others, you realize today's the day you want to give your life to him. I'm going to be right down front. When we start to sing, I just invite you to come. And as you come, my prayer is that you would let me share with you how you can give your life to Jesus. It is not about what you can do for him. It is about what he has already done for you. Maybe others still, though, God's calling you to unite with our church. Would you come? We'd love for you to be a part of helping us make a difference here in Albertville and around the world and growing together. Father God, in the quietness of this moment, as the melody plays to this beautiful song that says, breathe on me, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Lord, I could never think of a more pointed and wonderful phrase to say than that phrase right now. Father, I pray that you would have your way among us in this place. If there's one here that doesn't know you, that your Holy Spirit would convict them and that this morning, in just a moment, they would give their life to you. If there are others here that you need to unite with our faith family or follow through with believers' baptism, that, Father, you would bring them to that point even this morning. If there are others still who just need to spend some time on their knees committing a certain aspect of their life, a certain part of their life, or simply saying, Father God, I want to raise the sail in 2017. Father, that you, your divine wind, you would have your way. You have already sealed our salvation. Now you desire to continue to make us new and transformed every single day. So, Father, I pray you do that in our lives. Father, have your way among us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to stand together. Would you stand?